welcoming everyone to Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobby that provides CCL supporters like you and I with in-depth training opportunities, including this sequence. This is the fourth and final in a lobby four-part training sequence. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and it's all in preparation in advance of annual international conference. And in this last webinar, what we're going to do is demonstrate how to navigate some particularly difficult and tricky situations. But before jumping in and having fun with those, I'll pass the baton over to you, Iona, and we'll get to know our co-hosts for this evening.
I'm the regional coordinator for the Northeast region, which consists of New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Maine, Vermont, and New Hampshire. And I live most of the time in Columbia County, New York. I first heard about CCL 5 years ago, exactly 5 years ago, and in 2 weeks found myself at the national conference in DC. And then my life changed. I found what I'd been looking for years, a way to make a difference in solving climate change, what had been worrying me for a long time. So I went right back to Columbia County and started spreading the word about CCL, and a bunch of us officially started the Columbia County chapter in early 2014, and it just blows my mind how many other people's lives back home have changed as a result. And I started as a group leader and liaison for Chris Gibson, our Republican member of Congress. He was the author of the famous Gibson Resolution. And I became state coordinator for New York State, and then 2 years ago, regional coordinator. And I just love how at Citizens Climate Lobby, I'm constantly engaged with other wonderful, committed people from all over the country. And I'm always challenged at how to better support our wonderful volunteers. I learn so much every day, and CCL has empowered me to be a smarter, more effective advocate and a better human being. So I'm grateful each and every day for CCL.
Thank you, Iona. Well, we are grateful for your leadership, and with you tonight is the wonderful Don Adu. I'll pass it to you, Don.
All right. Thanks, Brett. My name is Don Adu. I'm the Southeast Regional Director for Citizens Climate Lobby. I oversee 9 states, Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. This will be my 8th DC conference. I'm very excited about that. I started with CCL in 2011, had the opportunity to start the first chapter in North Carolina. I started as a group of one and was a group of one for a long time. It took a lot of work to figure out what in the heck I was doing. And fortunately, I had one member who did end up coming back. I was kind of at the point of ready to throw in the towel. It had been several months, and it was just month after month of just me sitting in my living room and listening to those international calls. And I had one volunteer who I was ready to call quits, and he came back for a second time. And I thought, well, if he's committed, I'm committed. So that kept me going, and now I'm the opportunity to help over 60 different chapters across the Southeast and grow our message in an area that's 72% Republican. So I'm really excited about where we've come and where we're going.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Don, for sharing your story too. I think both of you just opening up and being vulnerable about the journey that all of us go through with being involved with CCL is really humbling and motivating to realize we're not alone along the way here too. So let's zoom ahead and look at tonight's actual agenda. It's going to be pretty straightforward. It's just really a 6-part review. We're going to start with really talking about some common objections to carbon fee and dividend and how to demonstrate good, bad, and better responses for each of those. We'll dive right in after that to discuss some common temptations that we all fall into in meetings, as well as how to avoid them. We'll pivot after some Q&A from there to talking about how to handle difficult situations with advanced lobbying skills, talk about some hot button issues, and even pushback from volunteers, and then wrap it all up with a final role play that Don and Iona will discuss before going back to Q&A. So without further ado, I'm going to get out of the way, sit back, and enjoy myself as well. And I'll pass it to you, Don, to get us going and how to overcome common objections to carbon fee and dividend.
Awesome. Thanks, Brett. So Iona and I are going to go through some examples of some of the most common opposition that you'll get while lobbying. What about China? Problems with the word tax and disbelief that our policy could ever be revenue neutral. each of these topics has the potential to derail your meeting. Hopefully, after Iona and I demonstrate a bad, good, and better response to each of these common problems, you'll have an idea of what you might say and do when you run into these situations. Remember this: stay focused and respond to what they say and hear, not what you think they should hear. For this section, Iona and I will take turns being the member of Congress and a CCL volunteer. Then Brett will debrief each section. First, Iona is the staffer who raises a concern regarding China and India. We'll start with a bad response.
Don, it doesn't matter what we're doing because China and India are burning so much coal.
You know, a lot of Republicans fail to acknowledge what China is doing. So obviously that's a bad response. Here's a good response.
Don, it doesn't matter what we're doing because China and India are burning so much coal.
China and India are important. The good thing about our policy proposal is no matter what they do or don't do, we have more jobs, increase our competitiveness, and the air and water in our districts will be cleaner. So that's a good response, right? It sounds like I've internalized the laser talk. Now here's a better response.
Don, it doesn't matter what we're doing because China and India are burning so much coal.
That's a valid concern, Iona. Would you tell me more about why that matters to you?
Sure. Well, we see it this way. If the U.S. is the only country eliminating coal jobs and coal as a source of energy, then China and India are free riding at our expense, and we can't stop global warming by ourselves.
So what I'm hearing you say is that if there was a way to bring China and India along, then that would be much easier for this office to support climate action. Is that fair?
Yes. There are a lot of other issues we'd have to overcome as well, but yes.
I can certainly appreciate that, Iona. Getting back to the China and India concern, I had that same concern when I heard about how Reagan, I had that same concern, and then I learned about what Reagan did in using a border adjustment to bring other countries along when combating the hole in the ozone layer. Would you like to hear more about what Reagan did to eliminate free riders?
All right, then I'll cut it right there. And we'll go into a quick debrief for each of these, like Don said. So let's just start with a couple of things. Notice, you know, first in Don's better response, what he did was start with an acknowledgement and then followed it immediately with a question. Don said specifically, that's a valid concern, Iona. Would you tell me more about why that matters to you, to acknowledge what she was concerned about? If in doubt on any issue, that phrase that Don used, tell me more, is a really wonderful crutch to keep leaning on. You can rely on it to continue to find out about any underlying issue or value in your meetings. And this specifically led, in this case, to Don discovering that Iona's underlying issue was that, essentially, she was worried about free riders. She didn't want China or India to get away without paying their fair share. So to us, asking questions and then listening for values, we do that so that we can find common ground. And that's when we discovered this issue of free riding. So even with the bad and the good response, we told them what we wanted to hear in that situation. And it's really only after Don asked that clarifying question and then listened to really figure out how we could respond to emphasize the value that we shared that we were able to move forward. So our next topic is the taboo surrounding the word tax. I'll pass it back to you. And in this example, Don's going to play the member of Congress and Iona will switch it up and be the CCL volunteer. Action.
What you're really talking about, Iona, is just a tax.
Well, it's a fee, not a tax, if all the money goes back to households. So that's a bad response. Here's a good response.
What you're talking about, Iona, is really just a tax.
Well, former Secretary of State Schultz says that if the net proceeds are returned to households, then it's a fee, not a tax. He said taxes pay for the government and that this fee is not doing that. Not only did Mr. Schultz serve four administrations, he was also the chairman of the economics department at the University of Chicago. So that's a good response, but here's a better response.
What you're talking about, Iona, is really just a tax.
I've had that same concern, Congressman. I'm a fiscal conservative myself. Would you like me to tell you what I've learned?
Sure.
Well, have I ever told you that George Schultz is on our advisory board? He's President Reagan's former Secretary of State and Secretary of Treasury.
Yeah, I think I knew that.
Well, Secretary Schultz tells us that if we offset the fee revenue minus any administrative costs with correspond rebates to households, then we are not technically raising revenue to fund government programs. What's your take on that?
It sounds like semantics to me, but there is a lot of semantics in governing.
I agree. Well, you know that there's some other economists too, like Romney's former economic advisor, Mankiw, who believe that we need to put the costs of reducing emissions onto the balance sheets of the producers. That's what our fee is designed to do.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Iona. So notice specifically in that better response, she started with an acknowledgement that shared Congressman Adu's concern. Iona said, "I've heard that same concern, Congressman, and I'm a fiscal conservative myself." Now, you don't have to say that if you don't particularly identify with that particular political ideology, but if you do, it's wonderful to align yourself with that view and then pivot from there to ask if they'd like to find out more about what you've learned. And in this example, you know, Don agreed, and so that led to Iona moving forward to understanding his underlying value. Don's comments about really what you're talking about is a tax went from arguing about whether it's bickering tax or fee to quoting Secretary Schultz, and then specifically moving on to connecting with his value and asking for permission to give our take. And I think what we're really trying to recognize with this is, especially with Republican offices, we're asking for something difficult here, for the government, especially for conservatives, to actually take in revenue. When they're ready to hear what you have to say, it's going to be a lot easier. And it's also much more likely to be trusted if it comes from an actual respected messenger in their own camp to validate with, you know, voices like Secretary Schultz, Greg Mankiw, you name it. So what you've done is move that conversation from something that scares them, the word tax, to a positive message that really resonates with them, or they at least can continue to find out more about and feel safe playing in that realm. On this last area, before we pivot to some key takeaways, and we'll address the questions then too, our last topic is going to be revenue neutrality specifically. And in this example, we'll switch back. Iona will play the member of Congress, and Don will be the CCL volunteer.
We won't vote for this because we don't believe it could ever be truly revenue neutral after it gets through Congress.
Okay, so you're telling me that we can't trust you with money. So obviously that's a bad response. Here's a good response.
We won't vote for this because we don't believe it could ever be truly revenue neutral after it gets through Congress.
Yeah, we hear this concern sometimes. I like what they did in British Columbia. What they did in British Columbia was that if all the money does not go back, the finance minister loses part of her salary. Also, I like what Bob Inglis said about this. If we let this fear prevent us from passing legislation, then we have given up on this experiment we call democracy, and we might as well invite the king back. Okay, so that's a good response. Here's a better one.
We won't vote for this because we don't believe it could ever be truly revenue neutral after it gets through the Congress.
Yeah, we hear this concern from some offices. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, I'm sure the Democrats will want some money for extending Social Security, and the Republicans will want to pay down the debt. So what we will end up with is revenue from a higher energy prices paying for other things.
So it sounds like transparency is really important to you. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I see way too much waste and fraud.
That's a big concern for us as well. There's some examples of how something similar has worked in other places around the world. Would you like to hear more about those?
Excellent. All right, so this is our last debrief, and with this one, I'll just be even more brief in our debrief, and that is that really notice what Don did in acknowledging the response. He followed that again by a question. You're probably sensing a formula at this point. It can be applied to whatever the question is. The beautiful thing about this format is regardless of what the question is, whether it's a more wonkish question about, you know, border adjustments with existing carbon pricing countries or something that's a bit more akin to what we're seeing here, just concerns about tax in general, you can apply the same principles. So really the exercise that we're trying to emphasize is just slowing down and trying to identify where they're coming from before responding or parroting back a laser talk, which again, isn't terrible, but it won't really advance that deepening conversation. All right, let's pass it back to you, Iona, and we'll get into talking about some misconceptions and moving past them.
Okie doke. The important thing to take away from this demonstration isn't the content, as Brett just said, but the process. When first presented with an objection or concern, our initial inclination is to come back with a fact. However, remember what Dr. Hayhoe and others have taught us. You must connect on shared values before someone is ready to accept what you have to say. So in order to determine what's the underlying value behind their statement, we ask questions to draw out more information. We establish common ground by sharing their concern and connecting ourselves to that value. We ask permission to proceed so that they are ready to hear what we have to say.
There's a big misconception among of some people, and including some of our own volunteers, that we face climate denial in congressional offices all the time. And really nothing could be further from the truth. However, we understand that the potential for dealing with a denier in Congress can create a lot of anxiety for us. So we're going to demonstrate a bad and better way to manage this situation. But I want you to know that it's rare that this comes up, and usually only if a volunteer brings it up first. So I'll play the member of Congress here. You know, Iona, the satellite data shows the planet hasn't warmed in 15 years. So why should we do anything about this?
Well, 97% of peer-reviewed science papers say that it is warming. So you're ignoring the consensus of science. Well, so now what you're doing is starting an argument. So a better response might be...
So you know, Iona, the satellite data shows the planet hasn't warmed in 15 years. So why should we do anything about this?
I understand that the science can be confusing. We've got satellite measurements, surface measurements, ocean measurements, and more. It took me a while to get my head around the science. If you'd like, we can set up a separate time to discuss the science of climate change. We can even get a climate scientist from a local university to be there. However, we're here today to discuss a policy that will grow the economy, create jobs, save lives, and significantly reduce emissions. And that is something that I care deeply about. So even if we're not on the same page with the science right now, I think the policy's other virtues, job creation and saving lives, warrant your consideration. Would you like to hear more about the policy?
I love that. Thank you, Iona. So let's do one more debrief here on this one. And again, like Don said, you know, we're increasingly seeing climate skepticism being more and more uncommon. And, you know, the ratio of offices that are outright hostile or not interested in talking about anything connected to this continues to shrink. So there's two key things I think to really take away here. So one of which was that Iona was not confrontational. Well, when faced with a, you know, pretty robust, you know, defense of why satellite data can't be trusted, what she did, instead of, you know, acknowledging the consensus behind climate science, was acknowledge that science can be confusing. Without telling Don that he was wrong. And she extended a hand by offering to bring a local expert, again, somebody trusted from their own home state. And this is much more comfortable and less combative. We found this, we've used this a lot in meetings. This is a tried and true CCL offer, and it's worked very effectively. It also leaves the door wider for breakthroughs than just saying, no, you're wrong. Surprising. And secondly, it's also better to help them find a way forward on their own terms. We're not going to convince them in that one meeting. You know, as Dr. Hayhoe reminds us, this is not an information deficit model. We're not going to have a magic clue that's all of a sudden going to unlock winning them over in that 15 to 30 minute meeting. And so rather than forcing them on our terms, what we'll do is allow them the opportunity to end up supporting our policy based on, you know, even the economics. If they did that without even having accepted climate science, should we care? But really, keep this in mind. CCL's fundamental mission is to create a livable world. So ultimately, our goal is to pass legislation that achieves this. And ultimately, from that, it doesn't really matter why a representative or senator may choose to vote on this as long as they do it. So in a final wrap-up of this first section, before we go to Q&A, let's just share a couple other takeaways. I'll pass it to you, Don, that stand out in these role plays.
Awesome. Thanks, Brett. Yeah, the first takeaway for me is don't lose your mind. Just keep your cool. It's okay. Assume positive intent. Oftentimes, their concerns are genuine. Even if they're not, you should treat them as being genuine. And acknowledging and identifying with those concerns helps a lot. If you can eliminate the innate bias that we have to blame others for being evil, wrong, or disingenuous, then we can not only change the context of the relationship, but also create the conditions within which we can develop a productive relationship with our members and their staff. remember the tell me more is the most important tool. Oh, I one of our share a story with you about our Alabama volunteers. They met with a representative who was a climate denier and started the meeting by saying that the world had not warmed since the 1930s. And our group did an amazing job. And instead of just challenging that or saying that's blatantly false, they said, well, tell me more about that. And he went on to discuss his concern of the climate science. And what we got to very quickly was not so much the science, but what the solution would be and the fear of what would happen if we enacted this. So enacted some type of action on climate change. And that's when we were able to talk about the economic benefits of CCL's proposal of carbon fee and dividend. So you really can work with this. And make sure that you let them finish their point and ask permission to proceed. They want to feel like they're being heard. Oh, once the member of Congress has finished sharing their thoughts, they're going to be much more willing to listen to what you have to say.
And here's some common temptations you should avoid. First, promising what you can't deliver. An example of this would be that CCL will change its position. Or overstating our case. An example of this would be promising with 100% certainty that the majority of their constituents will come out ahead. Stuff like that. Asking for less than what you want. We've discussed in other trainings that you want your primary ask to be that the member will introduce or support bipartisan carbon fee and dividend legislation. And only go to your supporting ask when you know clearly why the primary ask has been rejected. And don't show up, as Don said, to argue the science. Keep the focus on the conversation, on the relationship, and learning about their priorities, concerns, and values. And if you're in a meeting where you're not a constituent, this is important, defer to the constituent's plan and approach to their member of Congress. It can be really tempting to want to share your own well-formed ideas, but remember, we're there first and foremost to feature the support from the member of Congress's district. So if you have concerns, make sure to coach and support your team members, especially first-time attendees, and be ready to share some of the main points of their meeting goals.
Awesome. Thanks. So we're going to review some additional skills that will gracefully get you out of some bad situations. First of all, know that these situations can happen to anyone. So don't, you know, misattribute blame to yourself or your group or, you know, that you could have done something differently because it happens to everybody, no matter how experienced you are. Working with people is inherently risky. There's so much and there's only so much you can get out of some meetings. And only worry about what you can control, not so much what you can't. So let's discuss a few of those situations and the best way to handle them. Iona?
Yeah, there have been meetings when a CCL volunteer has gotten a little heated. So here's an example of an angry volunteer. It's you guys in Texas with your oil companies who are stalling and making this worse. And your team leader can handle it by saying, obviously, we're very passionate people and we're working very hard to get something done in time. You were just saying that and then let the staffer continue with their point.
Another example might be with an angry or frustrated staffer. Now, just a caveat, this is extremely rare. But if you do begin to meet with an office and it quickly indicates that they're not on board with discussing climate action, here are some thoughts. You don't want to get angry back or get defensive. You can handle it by acknowledging their concern, repeat back to them what they're saying so they know that they're being heard. Use active listening skills and let them know that we are not there to put them into a no-win situation. And highlight that their goal is focusing on whatever they think is best to make it easier for them to support our bill. Another thing that we sometimes fall into is getting off topic. We've all come across great talkers in our lifetime. You want to wait until there's a breaking point, acknowledge their position, and pivot back to why we're there. Where to best interrupt? Use your experience. You don't want to cut someone off mid-sentence, but take your opportunities where you can.
Great. So now I want to talk about pushback from like-minded folks. You'll meet people who agree with you on climate and who understand that we need to act. But they may favor another policy or have reservations with carbon fee and dividend. you might encounter offices that feel really frustrated and focus on President Trump or Administrator Pruitt's rollback of our environmental protections. So how should we handle those kinds of situations? So of course, show appreciation for their important work on this issue. Acknowledge it, that we share a common goal, and acknowledge the worthiness of their ideas and their plan. And it's too easy to get upset with people on our side who don't agree with our exact approach. And the slight differences should never let us forget that we're on the same side. So just always remembering that we're on the same side. Refrain from negativity. Don't bash their plan. They're proud of them. And tell them that we appreciate their idea and their work to address this important issue. We just think that for us to get done what we're trying to get done, we need to keep all our focus on one thing.
Well put, Ayanna. Thank you. So those were all kind of rapid-fire difficult situations. Again, those are all available in the slides, in the notes after tonight. If you're calling it on the phone later on, you can look it up. It's really easy to think of. It's just cclusa.org, all one word, and then /lobby401, since that's the sequence for tonight. So you can follow along right with us, and we've reached our final topic, which is hot button issues. So at this point, what's going to happen is Ayanna and Don are going to discuss some ways, and we're actually going to have a bit more of a robust role play with some of them at the end, on how to handle a few more hot button issues, especially that might have a different approach across the aisle, whether you're in a conservative or a liberal office. These are going to include anything from fracking, missing constituent support, nuclear energy, partisan polarization, you name it. We're in for an adventure, and I'll pass it to you, Ayanna.
All right. Keeping focus. These issues can elicit strong responses from either side. Don will go over some suggested good responses in Republican offices, while I'll give you suggested good responses in Democratic offices. What we don't want you to do is be inauthentic. You should not say anything that doesn't work for you. The people that you meet with will be able to tell if you're being inauthentic, and it won't work. So if the conversation gets off track, just redirect it back to the reason of our visit. Let's start with hydraulic fracturing or fracking. Don, care to begin with the Republican office perspective?
Sure. Thanks, Ayanna. In a Republican office, you may hear, "Natural gas burns cleaner, so y'all should be championing the shale revolution." A bad response would be, "We already know that natural gas is way worse than coal because there's so much methane leakage." A much better response is, it sounds like accountability is important to you. For me, accountability is really important too. In CCL, we believe all fuels should be accountable for their full cost to society. Would you like to hear how our policy will do that?
In a Democrat's office, you may hear, "Aren't you opposed to fracking?" So bad response would be, "Heck yes, I participated in 2 fracking protests last year." A good response would be, "Well, thanks for asking. It sounds like public health impacts and moving away from fuels like natural gas that create significant impacts is important to you. Looking out for health impacts is really important for me too. That's why I'm so excited about CCL's policy. It is committed to unleashing an immediate global shift away from all fuels that emit CO2 and other heat-trapping gases. What do you think is the best way to transition to clean energy economy while looking out for lower and middle-class families that would be the most impacted by higher energy prices?"
Great. Thanks, Ayanna. All right, let's tackle nuclear. In a Republican office, you may hear, "Nuclear has to be a part of the conversation. It must be on the table." A bad response is, "Why don't you talk to the folks at Fukushima?" A much better response is, "Thanks for sharing this important priority for your office. As an organization, we don't take a position on nuclear. We take a position on one thing, having the burning of fossil fuels pay their true cost to society and letting the market determine what's viable or not. The economists tell us that with the carbon fee and dividend, the percentage of nuclear in our energy mix stays about the same as it is now."
Thanks, Don. So in the Democrats' office, you may hear, "Your report shows that nuclear will increase under your plan." Bad response: "We got to get our energy from somewhere." Good response would be, "Thanks for sharing your concerns about nuclear. sounds like fuel safety and figuring out alternatives to traditional fuel sources are important to your office. We recognize their important, passionate views on nuclear energy's role in the transition to 100% renewable energy. And CCL's focus is on accelerating the overall shift worldwide to a clean energy economy in a time frame that matches the scale of the challenge we face. How do you feel about the overall growth in renewables with carbon fee and dividend? Or how do you think we can best balance grid stability and baseload power while transitioning to renewables?
Now we're going to talk about a little lack of support in a district. For tonight's tricky scenario, using open questions from the practice of motivational interviewing is a helpful way to be able to dive in deeper to a member's thoughts. While it may be tempting to think that the way we reach our elected officials is to find the perfect argument that will persuade them, nobody really likes to be approached that way, even if it starts with a very nice appreciation. As a result, we've been working on applying the techniques of motivational interviewing to our meetings. A key idea is to ask strategic, open questions to facilitate the member talking positively in their own words about the things that will move him or her in a positive direction. And then we can strategically reflect back the things that they have said to let them know that we've heard them and to highlight the things that will let him or her move forward. Let's demonstrate these on the two last hot button issues, one more likely to come from Democratic offices and one from Republican office. Here's the first. In a Republican office, you may hear, "I'm not interested in pursuing any type of action I don't hear from my constituents supporting." Bad response is, "Hello, where are your polling experts? A recent study shows that it's clear that the trend is not being addressed." A better is, "We entirely understand your desire to focus on lawmaking that your district is asking for. May I ask what types of environmental concerns you may hear about from your district?" So out of curiosity, if a constituent's concerns were different on this issue, how would you feel? And if so, have you seen an issue that personally matters to you when you or your colleague were able to get out in front of vocal constituents and frame in a way where your interests and theirs were still met? Do you have an exchange that follows moving towards connecting how our policy can also empower them to meet a constituent's needs and realize they can lead their constituents? Lastly, you could also focus on finding ways to utilize resources like our Yale Project on Climate Change communication maps and to provide the support that they've identified. We entirely understand your desire to focus on lawmaking that your district is asking for. We have an interesting mapping tool that researchers at Yale have put together that shows American climate change beliefs and policies supported at the congressional district level. Is this the type of information that would be useful to your office? If so, walk them through those findings. If not, ask them what kind of information would be more useful for the office. Iona?
Yeah, this last one is a concern in Democratic offices that Republicans are just joining the caucus to position themselves well for midterms. So in a Democrat's office, you may hear the Republicans on the resolution and the Climate Solutions Caucus are just greenwashing. A bad response. "You're right. I wasted my money coming here." A better one might be, "It sounds like actions on important issues like climate change, not just words or caucus memberships or what matter most to you. They do it at CCL as well. We take the approach that until no one is surprised at the next Republican who joins, then there's still work to do, changing expectations about what it means to be Republican in the United States. As an organization, CCL wants us again become the country to pass the Clean Air Act with only one dissenting vote in Congress. Would it be helpful for your office to see a list of the actual legislation the caucus is working on? We can also share some of the statements regarding climate change being a priority that conservative members have issued when they've joined. What else would be helpful to see?" We'll wait for their response. So, all right, let's put it all together in a role play scenario. We're almost done with tonight's webinar, and before going to questions, we'll close with a setup for an actual role play exercise. With each lobby training webinar, we're including a demonstration of advanced listening and communication skills. In it, I'll play the role of the CCL constituent, and Don will be my liberal member of Congress who is justifiably frustrated about the lack of progress they see in Congress on this issue. Here we go.
Quite frankly, I'm fed up with the lack of progress on this issue, and if Republicans are so important to have on board, I wish more of them would show up.
Well, we sure agree with you about all the partisan fighting in the news. How do you resist the pull to be on the attack against the Republican Party? And this is an open question designed to get Adu to keep speaking positively about bipartisanship so that the change talk comes from his mouth, not ours.
Well, there is a lot, and that is very frustrating about trying to work with them, to be honest. I can't believe the way they shove stuff through without due process. It makes me really angry sometimes. But I'm here to get things done, and I know that a few of my Republican colleagues also don't like some of what's going on, so I try to stay focused on what we can do as much as possible.
So I'm hearing that you find it frustrating and really don't like it when you don't get a chance to have input into legislation. And yet you want to get as much as possible done, and it also sounds like you have a few relationships across the aisle that are helpful to you in staying positive. I'm really glad to hear that. This is a reflection. Well, moving on to our interest in climate change legislation, many people are predicting that Democrats will become the majority party in the House of Representatives after the elections. How do you think that would change the way your work as climate goes next year in Congress? So that's an open question.
I'm eager to have Democrats in the majority again, of course. It will make it much easier for us to block undesirable legislation, and it will let us pass really good legislation in the House at least.
So you're looking forward to having more political power to advance your agenda. That's a reflection. What will your priorities on energy and climate be in the next Congress? That's an open question. Let's learn, and that it's going to let us learn, and it reminds him what is important to him.
I'm going to put a high priority on renewable energy. CCL should like that because it will lower emissions, and it's also something with broad support from many conservatives.
We would love to have more renewable energy. How important do you think it would be to work with Republicans to get things done in the new Congress next year? Again, that's an open question leading to our ask that the member of Congress support bipartisan carbon pricing, fee, and dividend.
Even if we retake both chambers, we'll still have Donald Trump as president. So we will get further if we can find ways to cooperate with Republicans.
Well, we totally agree. That's where we're talking a lot about the need for bipartisanship in all 500 of our lobby meetings today. And we want you to know that in the last 6 months, we've been able to bring some Republicans together in Congress to talk very seriously with each other and with our legislative staff about carbon fee and dividend. We think it offers the best opportunity for significant legislation to get passed because it has bipartisan appeal, and it will greatly boost the adoption of renewable energy. This links his support to our proposal. There is a lot of work left to be done, of course, but let's suppose that early in the next Congress, there are some Republicans ready to introduce a carbon fee and dividend bill. We would very much like for you to sign on to a fee and dividend bill with Republicans and help to move that forward. Is that something you could say yes to? And a yes or no question, because we're looking for a commitment now.
I can't agree for sure until I've seen the actual language. But if what they're proposing is close to what you've been telling me about, then I would give it strong consideration. Do you have the bill language?
I can say that there have been negotiations, but because it's so politically risky for Republicans to be public on climate change, especially with the election so close, our DC staffers keep everything very confidential. But we are delighted that you would give strong consideration to signing on to fee and dividend legislation. Would you like us to keep you informed as things move forward?
Yeah, definitely. Please do that. I'm pretty amazed by what you're telling me about having Republican support for this.
And we are very grateful for your support. We pledge to keep working just as hard as we can with our 415 chapters in the U.S. to build bipartisan support for the strongest possible legislation. Here are a few of the things we've been doing lately. Here's a summary of the letters to the editor we've published this year, and this is a copy of two county board resolutions passed in support of fee and dividend. And here is the latest batch of constituent comment forms from people in the district expressing their concern about climate change and desire for action. Is there something else we can do for you to help build that support in our district? What should we be doing more of? And again, these are open questions.
Wow, that's a lot of constituent comment forms. My intern's not going to be happy. These resolutions are really great too. I would love to see even more of them from some of the more conservative areas in my district.
All right, we'll wrap it up there. You guys have been doing a role play long enough. All right, well done. Good round of applause to our theater troupe. Who knew that we had such actors on board? All right, thank you, John. I am. You know, we're doing plus ones in the chat. All right, so anyways, in summary, let's do a quick recap of what we're going to look for kind of from that role play, and then we'll go back to the phones here. So, you know, again, if the conversation goes off topic in any of these difficult scenarios, there's a pretty basic formula that I'm guessing most people tonight have really been able to instill down, and that is to respond to their statement by first acknowledging, and then you're hearing their concern, and then try to understand and identify the underlying values, how you can relate to it. So in the heat of the moment, chances are you won't have the perfectly thought out answers that these scripts have role modeled. That's totally all right. Again, you don't have to memorize or even fully internalize these. What we're really trying to do is help pass on a three-step practice. And again, that's one, acknowledging, listening for shared values. Two, connecting that point or that value back to our policy and how you think the policy demonstrates that connection. And then three, continue to ask their questions for input to get that feedback loop going. Regardless, if you follow that plan, you're going to be in a stronger position, and that'll help deepen our relationship with the office and understand their needs and how do we can move them closer to supporting our bill. So with that, let's just close by saying, I hope that a lot of you in listening to this felt a little alleviation in your own pressure level that you had heading into DC, because the fear of failure for all of us is strong. That's something that we all deal with when we head into those office doors, and that's a very normal reaction. So practice your study guide ahead of time. Remember, it's okay to say that you don't know, and as long as you leave with an appreciation, respect, and you leave with that opportunity to have another conversation, consider it a victory. So here's where to find the lesson after tonight, and here's Don and Iona's contact information. I'll put these in the chat window as well if you have any questions for them or myself. And just as a quick reminder, again, I'll put these on the chat window so you don't have to write them down too quickly. These are all available in the recent training tab in the Learning Center, and you can go there by going to Community and then clicking on Learn and then in Recent Training. So I'll pass it to you, Iona, for a really powerful quote from one of our favorites, Margaret Mead.
Yeah, you've all heard this before, but in my mind, we can't hear it enough. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has.
Right on.
That's us.
That is us, and that will be us in DC. Thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful night.
Good night. Thanks, Brett. Thanks, Don.
Good night,
everybody. Thank you very much.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye. Please go ahead if you have questions, Joe.